You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round to recap for this week's Arnold Palmer Invitational. And joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. What up, Greg?
What's going on, Rick? Great to be with you tonight, as we do quite often on Friday nights. Very, very exciting. What a tournament we've had so far. Kind of a tale of 2 days. And I would say a tale of mornings and afternoons as well.
Yeah, for sure. So the tale of 2 days that Greg is referring to are presumably the scoring averages around Bay Hill. On Thursday, round one, it was just a hair over par, 72.29. But here on Friday, Greg, a lot more difficult, 74.25. So you're talking about two shots more difficult on Friday, and the guys in the afternoon seemingly on the wrong side of things.
Yes, it was brutally tough. So if you're a Rory McIlroy and you went out there yesterday and got a good round in the morning and you were playing this afternoon, you're able to hang around, hang in the mix. Look, that's a good sign. It's good when you can get take advantage of a morning round, because he's probably, hopefully, not going to have any more for the rest of the week. So I'm looking at that leaderboard. And with looking at what we're expecting for the remainder of the weekend, and I don't know if anyone is at 9 under by the time this thing ends.
Yeah, how hard can it get? Because the afternoon wave on Friday was 3 strokes over par on average, which is, I mean, that we're talking almost, you know, major championship level stuff at that point. How hard can this get over the final 2 days?
Yeah, it can. I mean, you could see the whole field around 75 for that scoring average, which is 3 over par on a par 72. It can get brutally tough. And when the fairways get faster, when the greens get faster and firmer, more importantly, firmer, and you have the rough as thick as it is, that's a recipe for extreme challenge. And then you have, it's not like Open Championship greens where many of them are open in the front and you're encouraged to bounce the ball in. That's not this kind of golf course. There are bunkers in front, water hazards in front, things guard the front of greens. So all of a sudden when you miss fairways, now you're either bringing in the trouble that's in front of the green or the trouble that's long of the green. So what you end up getting is somebody who's playing really well lands it around the front of the green, and it releases all the way to the back. If hole locations are in the front, they're not accessible, even from the fairway. I mean, you got to have some kind of wedge in at the very least to have a chance to give yourself a putt. So it can get really challenging. Again, I mean, you have plenty of water hazards out there, and you're going to be tested in your short game through the whole weekend.
With a 2-shot lead heading into the weekend, courtesy of a Friday 66, Victor Hovland is on top of the leaderboard. This was a sublime round number two for Victor here, Greg. It was 7 birdies, just 1 blemish on the card, a bogey on the par for 13th, but otherwise, not only was he in complete control of his game, but had his best putting round of his career, a little more than 5 strokes on the positive side with the flat stick,
and made 100 over 120 feet of putts for the day. So it's a great sign. Now, looking at the model, how good of a sign is that? Well, he was really good. He hit the ball really nicely too. He was 6th approaching the green, didn't necessarily drive it all that well. He hit 8 of 14 fairways and 11 of 18 greens. So that gives you an idea. He's 6th in strokes gained approach, and he misses 7 greens. So all of a sudden, short game becomes very important. And what did Victor Hovland do? He was 6 of 7 scrambling. So for him to hold on this weekend, that scrambling number is probably going to be more important than any of his other wins. Even if he hits the ball really well over the weekend, which is fair to expect him to, he's still going to have to scramble. He's still going to have to get up and down a lot to hang around. And everybody is. Everybody in this field is. But I think you're going to see that scrambling, that short game number, grow in importance through the week.
As much as I'd love to crown Victor right now, trust me, I would. This, I'm not going to do it, but this would be really a stamp, a signature victory for him. It would be a U.S. soil invitational event with a stacked field. This would clearly be, if he could close it out, the best win of his career.
On a really tough golf course as well. And that's kind of the thing, like I was saying, that short game's going to get really tested when you get into major championship quality golf courses. Now, this is a major championship like test, no question about it. When you have that kind, when you have scoring averages approaching 3 over par and a par 72 approaching 75, you're into major championship like test, at least for the weekend rounds. And today probably was too. So when you get on that difficult of a golf course, every player in the field, every area of their game is tested. And for Hovland to get a win this week, if he's able to pull through and play two great rounds over the weekend, this is going to be obviously his biggest victory, but it's going to elevate him into a new category. And all of a sudden, those expectations of major championship victories really come into play for him. You asked me this about Daniel Berger last week at the Honda Classic, and I answered with no. Well, if you asked me this week with Hovland, my answer would be yes. And it just inches him that much closer to a Colin Morikawa type, you know, one of the true elite players in the game. And this is the next step for him.
It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy for Victor. It's not going to be easy for anybody. We're talking about the course getting more difficult, and the stars are lining up behind. 7 under par, 2 shots back, Tyrrell Hatton, Taylor Gooch, and 1 Rory McIlroy, who shot a Friday 72, Greg, with a 2 over on his second 9. It was bogeys on 15 and 17. I want to kind of take you a little bit through this round, because Rory missed a short putt or 2 that I think has been his trouble spot over the course of the last couple of years. But I think if you would have asked him, would you take an even par 72 out of a wave that was 3 shots over par? I think that's a pretty good result for him.
Yeah, especially with what he did yesterday. The concern is exactly what you said. It's the putting. Now, putting has been great for him of late. I can't speak exactly to what happened on the DP World Tour. We don't have statistics for that. And what we saw in that is basically Rory hitting a flag stick and it's spinning off the green. I personally wasn't watching every shot of Rory when he was playing in Dubai, but the results tell me there's something going on with the putting. And then you combine it with what he's done on the PGA Tour. And I say, yeah, the guy's, he's made some big improvements on the greens. Today was a bad day. He lost 2 strokes on the greens. He only made 47 feet of putts, and it was a struggle. Now, like we said with Hovland, that area, the area of weakness, gets tested under a test like this, in conditions like this. Can Rory get back to what he did in 2018, where he found something with the putter, went shot 64 on Sunday, and won the tournament? I don't know. But it's certainly going to be tested, and I think we're going to find out a lot more about his flat stick and the legitimacy of his recent success over the weekend.
Real quick on Jon Rahm before we go look at the odds board. For all of the frustration, for all of everybody kind of writing him off this week and all that good stuff, 72 and 70 in his opening 2 rounds. That's T13, Greg. He might be too far back. There might be too many big names to win this thing, but that feels like the worst Jon Rahm could have shot, and he is inside the top 15 of this event.
I mean, he's handed away at least 1 shot. I mean, he left the 10 inch cut 9 inches short.
That might be the only shot that, like, if I subbed in that moment for Jon Rahm, we would be at 3 under as a team, not 2 under like he is by himself.
Right, right. That's the one. And there aren't many people who can't say that. Pretty much everybody right. can. He handed one away. And if he's at 3 under, I know Hovland's 9 under. I'm not calling the real lead 7, but no. But what we've seen at this event before, Rick, we've seen 36 hole leaders struggle on the weekend. It will not take, it doesn't take a poor player. It doesn't take a bad player. It doesn't take a terrible round of golf to come back to the field. And even a Victor Hovland, if it was Rory McIlroy where Hovland is, I'd say the same thing. That seven under mark is a fair target if you're sitting in John Rahm's shoes. And if he's only four back heading into the weekend, well, gee, that's nothing. He's now seven back. You could look at it and say, okay, I'm really five back. See, John Rahm is still in the mix. He's very much in the mix. He probably has to shoot six under. I mean, that would be a great target for him. If he could break 70 both days over the weekend, I think he'd have a chance. He'd have a chance on Sunday coming down the stretch.
Yeah, especially with how we expect things to get more difficult in the scoring averages for the week. Okay, we're going to look at the odds board and we're going to see if we can find some movers and shakers. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. The 36-hole leader, Victor Hovland, is no surprise your betting favorite over at Caesars Sportsbook. Greg, he's plus 163 with the trio at 7-under, right behind Rory McIlroy, plus 333, Tyrrell Hatton, 6.5-1, plus 650, and Taylor Gooch at plus 800. When you start looking at the guys who are single digits, how would you assess the betting options on this Friday night?
Well, I don't think Hovland is a smart bet right now. It just based on the numbers, that doesn't seem like the area you'd go. Now, I do think I find Hatton very interesting. You know, he hasn't hit the ball great. He did say after his round he was going to go try to clean some things up on the range, which he doesn't normally do. And if he can find something with his ball striking, it could be a good sign. I guess the question is, Rick, for you, how much of the model, the typical model, guys who are hitting it great, who haven't really found it on the greens yet, how much of that comes into play here? Or do you think, are you with me that short game is going to kind of take even a higher level of importance over the weekend?
Yeah, I tend to lean a little bit more towards that side of things. Anytime you get to a golf course where par is a good score, and we saw it last week and we're seeing it again this week, and I think pars will become increasingly more valuable on Saturday and Sunday, that tends to be short game stuff. It tends to be lag putts. It tends to be guys trying to get down in two from 38 feet instead of stuffing it to eight and having it turn into a putting contest. So I start to lean more towards the short game stuff on the more difficult courses that we get.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Now, I just think it limits the success of a great shot. And so everybody's kind of scrambling, right? So now if you look at, you go onto your free tool of rickrungood.com and you look at the guys who are leading in short game, you have Hatton right there, who, as I just mentioned, I love, he's top of the board in short game. Hovland is second. Okay, that's a really good sign for Hovland. Again, yeah. Just don't like the number. The guy that really stands out to me is Russell Henley. Because Russell Henley, in a way, although his success here hasn't been great, he kind of checks multiple boxes here. And you got to scroll down. Where is he? Where is he?
80-1.
He's 80-1.
Yeah.
He's 80-1. There he is. So, I mean, he's really attractive. He's sitting at 300 par. He's six back. He's a great iron player by trade, although he's lost almost a half a shot in the first two rounds. So around the greens, he's been really good. And I in the reverse model category, he's kind of the guy.
I am not opposed. So this is a rare opportunity and kind of a rare thing that we get on the PGA Tour when you have not one, but two, and maybe like 2.5 stars at the top of the leaderboard. Is everybody else is so long, Greg. Cam Young, 60-1. Scottie Scheffler, 66. You mentioned Russell Henley, 80-1. Patton Kizzire is six shots off the lead. He's four shots off of second, and he is 100-1. I would not be opposed to being an agent of chaos and betting a couple of these guys in the 60, 80, 100 with the idea that you saw what can happen. This course can play three strokes over par. If you go out and shoot one under tomorrow, you might make up a lot of ground on the field. I think that this is, with a hard golf course and with the guys that we have shaping up at the top, I think this is an opportunity on a Friday to throw a couple of long shots out there and see what happens.
I think so too. And you have guys, where is, I'm trying to find another guy that really caught my eye. I'm trying to find his, oh, there he is. Oh, he's Sam Burns is at 40. So he's kind of interesting too. Kizzire, I'm not as crazy about Kizzire, although he's had a nice putting week so far. He really hasn't scrambled very well at all. So it's almost surprising that he's in the category that he's in. He's doing a great job with his iron play and proximity to the hole. So he could be an interesting guy. He's won on the PGA Tour. I'm not as crazy about it as I am Henley. The other guy who has my interest is Scottie Scheffler. Mm-hmm. And it's a little strange. I don't feel like Scottie Scheffler has putted very well and has done a lot. But do you think he's just too far back, Rick?
I think he's one under par.
He's one under.
The good news about Scottie, so I think my brain says he's probably too far back, but my heart knows that Scottie, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he's like one of those guys who can gain five strokes in a round a lot, right? We've seen him shoot a 59. We've seen him get in these like really, really hot moments where he can gain four or five or six shots on the rest of the field. And on Saturday or Sunday, that might only be three or four under par around Bay Hill. So that's the exciting part about Scottie Scheffler, but you're going to need one of those ceiling weeks. I think it's a lot to make up at one under, and it's a lot of guys to kind of move past.
So he has made, yeah, I guess he hasn't made as many, because I was looking at him saying, well, he's made a lot of birdies. He's made eight birdies, which is, that's tied 18th.
Yeah.
So it's not all that special. I mean, Max Holm has made more. He's also at one under par. He's made nine birdies. But there's just not a lot of birdies out there. So I guess my favorite plays in looking at this would be, I'll give you three. Hatton for kind of a favorite. I like his number right now. And I like the way that he's playing. Henley at 80-1. And the other would be like a Cameron Young or something like that. Cause he just seems like he's due and he's hanging tough.
Dude, he is really impressive. Very impressed.
He's so good. And I think some of his advantages, I was talking to Michael Breed about this morning, like on the Korn Ferry Tour, on some of the mini tours, his advantage is in a way reduced. The golf courses are maybe a little shorter. The rough isn't as long. And his advantage of speed is minimized. Whereas you get out here on the PGA Tour where the greens are a little bit tougher, a little firmer, rough's a little longer, conditions get a little tougher, and now distance and what you can gain off the tee really starts to make the courses a lot easier and it starts to separate you. And this is an extreme example of that. So if he can have a great driving weekend, I think he could do things not a lot of guys on this board can. With his speed, Rory obviously can.
Right.
He's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah. I'd fire some bombs down there. Cam Young, Patton Kizzire. Russell Henley's not so bad either. Yeah. Fire some bombs down there and you might be in a lot better shape this time tomorrow. And we'll be back this time tomorrow to recap round three. And of course, we'll do the same after round four. But for now, let me give a big thanks to producer Jacob, does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, Greg Ducharme, you can find on Twitter at TheRealGFD, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.